So the way God brings fruit from us is also mentioned here. It says here, if a branch abides in me, my Father will prune him so that he produces more fruit. God's will is always, verse 2, every branch that bears fruit, my Father prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. God's will is always that you produce fruit, verse 2, and then produce more fruit, John 15, verse 2. And that pruning is what I was just speaking about, trial and affliction. And you cannot go from fruit to more fruit without being pruned. So if you face some peculiar situation in your life, don't say, Lord, why is this? I've been faithful to you. You've been faithful. That's exactly why God's leading you through there, so that he can lead you to something greater and higher. And this is not some new message, because right through in the Old Testament, I could give you example after example after example that this is the way God prepared all his servants to serve him. Let me give you the example of Joseph. You know the story of Joseph, the favorite son of his father, Jacob. Blessed in so many ways. His father was the darling of his father's heart. He'd given him special gifts of coats and dresses and things like that that made all his brothers jealous of him. And he had 10 brothers who were so evil, they wanted to kill him. And finally they had mercy and sold him off as a slave to Egypt. Now think of this. God, this boy is only 17 years old, remember. And God had already shown him, I'm going to do something through you. I'm going to do something through you. He had dreams where he saw his brothers bowing down to him. What do young 17-year-old boys nowadays dream of? It's a sad state of affairs in the world today. That if you were to ask the average 17-year-old what he's dreaming of, he's usually dreaming of some sexually filthy thing. But Joseph was having dreams about God doing something through him. You know, our dreams are an indication of where our conscious mind is set on most of the time when we are awake. Our subconscious recognizes by what we think of, not what we do or read, but what we think of most of the time in our waking hours. Our subconscious says, yeah, I know this guy is interested in this. This is his primary interest. You can fool everybody in the world, but you can't fool your subconscious. The subconscious knows exactly what you're interested in. You want to be a great man in the world. And your subconscious knows that. Or you want to make a lot of money. Your subconscious knows that. And your dreams will be related to that. Or if it's some impurity, the subconscious knows that you have some impure desires in your mind which give you a lot of pleasure, and since he give you that. The dreams are very often the subconscious giving you what you really want. Whatever you may fool other people, the subconscious is not fooled. And so when I think of Joseph having dreams about how God is going to fulfill a purpose through him in the future, I say, boy, this young boy really took to heart all that his father Jacob taught him. The father taught all the 12 sons about God. But Joseph was the only one who took it to heart. I find that, you know, you can preach something in a church strongly and there are only few people there who take it to heart. The others are listeners. If you ask them at the end of the message, what they have good brains and they'll tell you what was preached, but it doesn't grip them. So when God wanted to fulfill his purpose for Joseph, God had a plan that 13 years from now, this young boy will be 30 years old. And I want to make him the second ruler in Egypt that will feed the entire known world around there with food during 7 years of famine. How am I going to prepare him for this responsibility? Egypt, the best academies were there, education, universities, and all that. He says, no, that's not the place. I'll put him in prison, accused falsely. Lord, is that the way you educate your servants? Yeah. Not sending him to a Bible school. He'll rot away there. Let me put in some brief trials. In his affliction, he will get to know me. And that's what happened to Joseph. Let him be falsely accused. Let some woman come up and accuse him with a total lie. And others believe it and imprison him. And not for 1 or 2 years, for 10 years at least. And there are many other things that he went through there. In his affliction, he got to know God better and is prepared to one of the most wonderful things that Joseph learned, because he lived a long life after that, many, many years. But when he was 37 years old, when the famine was beginning, his 10 brothers had to come to Egypt for food. And one of the great things that God had worked in Joseph's heart to make him a man of God was he gave him the strength from above to forgive his brothers. You need strength to forgive somebody who tried to kill you and who sold you off as a slave. Imagine if you were sold as a slave by somebody, especially a relative who hated you, was jealous of you, and you got imprisoned because of all that. And one day you see that person, and that person is coming begging you for some favor. And you know what Joseph did? He put double into their sacks and wouldn't even take their money and bless them and forgave them. And you know what he said to them? Have you heard Romans 8:28? God makes all things work together for good to those who love God. Let me show you the Romans 8:28 of the Old Testament. You know that? God makes everything work for your good. That's in the New Testament, Romans 8:28. The Old Testament is the words of Joseph in Genesis 50 and verse 20. Genesis 50, verse 20. This is after years of experience. God, you meant evil to me, he's telling his brothers, but God meant it for good, to bring about this present result, to preserve many people, to make me a blessing to many people. Your evil, somehow God converted it into something good. I mean, if he were to expand on that, he'd say, my dear brothers, he could tell his 10 brothers, if you guys had not sold me to those slave traders, I would never be in Egypt. I'd have been rotting away in Canaan and dying in the famine like the rest of you. And when I came here, if that evil woman, Potiphar's wife, had not accused me falsely, I would never have been put into jail. And if I were not in prison, I would never have met Potiphar's cupbearer, who introduced me to Potiphar later. So every step, what other people did, turned for my good. Imagine if he hadn't gone to prison. If Potiphar's wife had never accused him falsely, he would never have gone to prison. He would have just been an important servant in Potiphar's house, but he would never have met Pharaoh's cupbearer, to whom he had interpreted a dream. And when Pharaoh had a dream, nobody would have told him, hey, there's a guy called Joseph who knows how to interpret dreams. See how God planned every little thing? So what you meant for evil, he tells these brothers, God planned it for good. And verse 22 there says, Joseph stayed in Egypt 110 years, 80 years. He had a ministry there in Egypt. But it came through trial and affliction. We could go through many examples like that. Let me just mention one or two more to show you this principle applies right through Moses. He was another person who 40 years was in the best in the palace in Egypt. He knew how pyramids were built, and brilliant man, absolutely brilliant. I mean, even today, engineers wonder at the constructions in Egypt. This is Moses. He knew all that. And it says in Acts 7, he was powerful in speech and powerful in action. Strong, mighty man. He could kill an Egyptian with one blow. Muscular, intelligent, educated man. Age of 40. And he thought, we read there in Acts 7, that the Israelites should recognize how God had prepared him to deliver them. God said, no. You're too strong, Moses. Have you ever heard God say to you, you're too strong? You're too proud of your cleverness. I can't use you, sorry. You're too self-confident. So what does he do? He takes this big prince of Egypt and puts him in a wilderness and makes him look after sheep for 40 years to humble him. And to add to that, makes him stay with his father-in-law for 40 years. Have any of you had an experience of staying with your father-in-law for even 1 year? And not only stayed with them, but dependent on your father-in-law for your job. Think of that. What a blessing that can be. That you're dependent on your father-in-law for your job and you have to live in that house. Not 1 or 2 years, 40 years. That's enough to break anybody. Moses, the great mighty prince of Pharaoh, was thoroughly crushed to the dust. So that when God appeared to him at the age of 80 in the burning bush, and says, Moses, I want you to go as my representative, Pharaoh. You know, this man who was mighty in words at the age of 40 says, Lord, I can't speak. How did God accomplish that? 40 years of crushing and breaking. And made him the mightiest servant of God in the Old Testament. And I've often thought when he was 40 years old, he could kill one Egyptian. When he was 80 years old, he lifted up his rod over the Red Sea and the entire Egyptian army was buried underneath in one moment. That's God's power. With his human power, he could kill one man. Imagine if he had tried to kill the Egyptians one by one like that. Where would he have ended? God's ways are so different. When God succeeds in breaking you, brother, he doesn't need your human strength. He can do much through very, very weak people.